You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
And I'm smoking the My Father Fonseca Edición Mexico. This is a kind of a new version of their Fonseca line with a Mexican San Andreas wrapper over Nicaraguan and other fillers. Not a whole lot of information on it on their website other than they're super proud of this new Mexican San Andreas wrapper, which is actually from, like, they're like, some people say we get Mexican San Andreas, but this shit really came from Mexico, and the rest of it mostly Nicaraguan.
So do you taste a difference with an authentic Mexican San Andreas wrapper there?
Not that I'm aware of, but then again, I don't know if I've been smoking fake Mexican San Andreas.
I mean, that's
real
the thing.
San
like, we you know... I don't know. I feel like that's probably a thing for lesser manufacturers. You know, I feel like if you're purchasing from premium names, then you should be getting a premium product, I would think, but who knows?
Mexico. Hope you boys like Mexico. And, you know, this is my father's cigar that kind of goes with our topic this week. We're talking about the new Fallout series on Amazon Prime, or the quest to find my trade ahead for my father. It's
I was going to save it for later, but, you know, it was funny. You know, we got an entire series, and it's all about, you know, trying to get head and intercourse.
So what are you smoking this week, since you didn't bring a cigar?
Oh,
what,
you know.
What fruity shit you bring this week?
So I've got one of the Modest X Kato bars, the chilled kiwi berry, you know. switching it up a little bit, you know. I really like the bomb pop. You remember the old school,
yeah.
You know, red, white, blue, you know.
America.
Yeah.
America, like, fuck yeah.
But for some reason, I was like, eh, let me give this a try. It's not my favorite. But it's not terrible. But it's weird though. Like, dude, the flavors in like the Kato bars and stuff are so much more than when I was rocking full mods and everything. And I don't have to worry about shattering glass or shit leaking with these, so it's perfect. Nor do I have like a full on like bludgeoning device in my pocket now that weighs 5 pounds.
I mean,
sometimes you might
Apocalypse
need a...
happen, you might need to bludgeon somebody with your... Dude, you need like a full-on Pip-Boy vape mod. You just like vape out your Pip-Boy.
That would be ridiculous. And I think I have like... when I subscribed, oh, what was it? Loot Crate or something.
Yeah.
I think they sent some kind of like Pip-Boy-ish thing one month. I might have to go to storage and dig something out.
I vaguely remember... there being a
Fallout
theme.
I definitely had, you know, mouse
Fallout 76 or something like that.
And
when
then,
that came out.
You know, the baubles that you had to collect, had one of those. I thought you had one floating around here somewhere.
Shit, I might. I don't know. Because I did Loot Crate for a while, too. But I'm like you. I've moved a couple times since then. I don't know where that shit wound up. but hey, if you got to fight off cannibals... you should call in the Strike Force, strikeforceenergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Get all jacked up on caffeine. It could fit inside your T-60 suit. You know, when you're traveling the wastelands, it's good to be caffeinated. And with that, we're going to be drop some bombs.
Well, I'm a mighty, mighty man. I'm young and I'm in my prime. Yeah! I'm a mighty, mighty man. I'm young and I'm in my prime. Well, I don't pick my jobs. I'm ready for any old kind. Yes, I'm a real young 25. Well, I'm willing, I'm able, I'm frantic, much alive. Well, I'm 6 feet tall, I ain't no hand-me-down. Yes, I'm 6 feet tall and I ain't no hand-me-down. Well, I got a gal in town who calls me good rockin' brown.
And welcome to the
welcome vault, to Rad Central. We're gonna
Vault 46.
Vault 46. You're not 46. Where'd you get the 46?
That was my old badge number when I was a cop.
God, it would have been so much cooler if you said 69 or something.
Damn it! You should have done that. Vault 69. Oh, so yes, we're talking about Amazon Prime's new post-apocalyptic drama comedy at times, Fallout. Which, I gotta say, like, I'm way behind on games. I never played the Fallout game, but I really enjoyed the series, even not knowing anything about fucking Fallout other than what I've just, you know, picked up from memes and videos through the years.
Well, I mean, one of the crazy things to me is, isn't that one of the reasons that we got you that badass laptop?
And I bought one game. Yeah. I played Star Wars. yeah, so now I need to, and I've heard since it's come out, the, like, sales of whatever the last Fallout game that came out is, like, it went up by, like, 500%. Like,
well, I mean, one of the things is, like, I remember buying the Fallout trilogy or something, like, you know, just about any time Steam does a, you know, freaking sell or something of that nature, you know, the games just become dirt cheap. But the beauty is, like, they're fun and just their vanilla variety, but the modding community, there's so many freaking mods and everything else that, you know, it's wonderful to take a game as old as Fallout and then, you know, give it a brand new skin, everything, and be like, holy shit, this looks better than, you know, some of the newer games, you know, just through mods. That, or if you just want to run around naked everywhere. Or, you know, hey, there was this game-breaking bug that the developers never fixed, but the modding community is like, hey, we got a workaround for that. So, you know, it definitely enhances your experience and mileage that you will, you know, get and that sort of thing.
I was never really into, like, the... I was more like an action game like guy than like RPG beanering and building things.
Well, I mean, that's the thing of Fallout. Like, you kind of had, you know, both the best worlds, you know? I mean, you know, obviously you were there to level up your character and skills and, you know, choose how your character was going to be. If you were going to be a, you know, fucking gunnery, a damn hacker or, you know, something of that nature, or you just wanted to fucking walk around in power armor and, you know, merc stuff, you know? So,
The Brotherhood of Steel. Which is like, that sounds like a fucking metal band.
Yeah.
The Brotherhood of Steel.
Fucking Vikings and shit.
Yeah, so, yeah, speaking of the Brotherhood of Steel, we kind of get, I don't know, like, four main characters in this. Well,
I mean,
I don't know if I'd count him as a main character because he's only in like two episodes, and then it was like his head in the rest of it. But you had like four character arcs that you got to follow throughout this series, and so it did a good job of kind of jumping around between.
Well, I mean, there were enough Easter eggs and nods too. You know, with that sort of, you know, hey, we jump forward, but, oh, well, if I would have paid attention to this thing in episode one, that's now where this has come into play and that sort of thing. There was a lot of that throughout the series where you get introduced to somebody and then it's like, oh, well, here we are now, and that's how that person now is tied in.
Yeah, so we've got Lucy McLean, not to be confused with the Die Hard series, which that's what I kept thinking every time I heard Lucy McLean.
Yes.
Who played by Ella Purnell, who is our person representing the Vault Dwellers, kind of our main character. And then you have Maximus, a squire of the Brotherhood of Steel, who basically they're a, I don't know, you'd call them like a military cult? Because they don't seem to represent like an actual government or anything, but they're more like, we hunt pre-war technology to so no one else can have it and we can eventually rule the world. But, you know, they actually got like cool high-tech shit.
Yeah, I mean, you go around stealing all the technologies, then, you know, you can come up with some of the badass shit, you know. If you don't tech, you know, you don't scavenge tech, you'll have no tech to work with. So you'll be in, you know, the fucking rustic ages and whatnot.
And then you have the Ghoul, played by Walter Goggins, who, dude, I love him and like everything he's in. He is like one of the best like kind of character actors we have now. Dude's always like just fucking badass and whatever he's in. I mean, from Justified to whatever, Principles. I mean, he's been in a bunch of shit, but he's always just like just cool motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, and I really enjoyed his character too. I don't know, you know, it was kind of cool having a ghoul. Cool ghoul. Say that 10 times fast. Yeah. Throughout the series, rather than it just being, oh, this is a thing I encountered and had to murk it.
Yeah. Because apparently in this world, ghouls are kind of like zombies where they don't die. They kind of have a healing factor unless you shoot them in the head like a zombie. But as long as they stay on their medication, they can retain their personality and brain and whatnot. And yeah,
and that's very much from the game as well, you know. I don't know. You know, some of the nods with the Rataway, with the, you know, stem packs and, you know, the Pip-Boys. And I loved how they didn't change the menus on the Pip-Boys and everything. So it truly looked like, you know, that green screen that you had to navigate through in the games. Like,
yeah, because Fallout, like, takes place in, like, a kind of an alternate history where it's, like, even though it's, like, 2077, it's, like, almost like 50s-style sci-fi where everything looks like it's old, but it's high tech. I like that aesthetic.
After many nuclear blast,
I mean, even before like the bombs dropped, it was like, because like when I didn't pay attention to the first fucking like timeline, that it was like, oh, that was 2077, because that shit looked like 1960.
You're expecting Red Foreman to come out,
yeah,
a young, you know, pre Eric Red Foreman.
So it's almost like if you remember like, whatever, Disney's Epcot, you know, like the World of Tomorrow, where it was like how they thought the future would look in the 50s. It had that very much that like aesthetic. Even the shit like in the vaults.
I mean, even modern shit, like, you know, think back to, you know, the 90s, and it's like, man, by 2024, we're going to have flying cars and all of this stuff. And it's like,
still ain't got no damn laser guns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's laser cannons. I don't know if you or I can get our hands on them, but
yeah, we don't have any phasers yet. We got tasers, but it's not the same thing.
I mean, it is a phase.
Oh, don't cross the streams, Ray. So yes, and this follows, like, correct me if I'm wrong, a vault that we've not seen in the video games, like. The 3123.
Correct. I, you know, Fallout was so lore heavy, and I never really...
I tried to Google like Fallout timeline, and goddamn, I'm like reading through this thing for like an hour. I'm like, I still don't know what there's so much fucking shit
the
in here.
The thing about the games is they're not really a linear path. Your choices and that sort of thing impact what factions, you know, control what and that sort of thing. So it's not really a, hey, go here, go here, go here, fight this boss and you're done type thing. You know, it truly is, you know, if you want an exploration game, you've got it. If you just want to run around and shoot shit, you got it. If you, you know, want to just try to, you know, collect fucking bobbleheads and stuff, you know, which, you know, I think one of the cool videos I saw was, you know, somebody actually doing, okay, if Lucy was a character in the game, what level would she be at the end of the series?
Or was this just the tutorial? I don't know. She's kind of badass by the end of it. Like when she...
Well, I mean, even in the vault, you know, when she's sparring and, you know, everything else. Yeah,
so
like...
it's like, back, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm, you know, part of the pipe. Yeah, and I practice, you know, shooting and stuff and like martial arts. But then, like, we start off with they basically trade people between vaults to diversify the population. And she's supposedly marrying someone from the next door vault. Well, it turns out that vault apparently went crazy and everyone died in there like a couple years ago. So these outsiders had broken into the vault and pretended to be the vault crew so they could raid her vault. And yeah, after she ends up banging her new husband, you know, realizes that him and his people aren't, and she's like, you know, fucking Pip-Boy starts going off. She's like, oh shit, you're fucking hot. Like, not in like, you know, the dong way, but like radioactive. You're an outsider. And then, you know, he fucking stabs her and she like fucks him up. It's like, she's not just a 50s housewife. She's like, you know, a bad bitch. And, you know, even later on when she gets sold to the body scrappers, like, you know, she ends up, you know, holding her own there. So she was never like, she was naive, but she was never like a damsel in distress. She was always kind of like, at least, if not,
You know, I
naive,
think,
but competent.
Well,
in her skill set.
And I think, you know, it did a good job of, you know, showing the sheltered, or not really sheltered, but the manipulated vault life versus, you know, hey, while you've been down here 200 years waiting for, you know, this supposed reclamation day, the world's going on above you.
Yeah, like, you know, it never actually ended, or we're still waiting for it,
you know,
to fully end. Because, you know, well, we'll get into that, the revelation about Vault Tech later, but yeah, when they come in and raid and kidnap her father, Hank McClane, they never explain how. I mean, is she a ghoul too? Because she's 200 years old as well.
No,
like once we, you know, started getting some of the flashbacks, they never explain like how she's still alive,
well,
relatively unscarred.
Cryogenesis. There's a lot of it, you know, so
probably,
keep in
because,
mind,
because yeah, Hank was, you know, frozen, so she may have been.
Keep in mind that,
frozen,
you know,
as well.
In the first episode, you know, or not really the first episode, but the revelation of, you know, it might have been episode 5 or 6 when, you know, homeboy's wife is like, hey, I've, you know, got us, you know, a management vault and everything. So that management vault, like, it's already predetermined who the overseers are and everything of that nature. So,
and of course, while Lucy's off on her quest, her brother stayed behind, and he's kind of starting to get suspicious of, like, you know, when he sees, like, you know, all the stuff that was in the abandoned vault, and is like, you know, fuck management, you know, we know the truth and all this other shit, and like, and, you know, he starts doing research and realizing every overseer had been someone from Vault 31. And it turns out, because, you know, in some of the flashbacks with Cooper, you know, the Vault Tech guy keeps telling him, like, hey man, the secret to, like, you know, beating your enemies is just outlasting him. And so, you know, and he's talking about, you know, I figured out a way to complete projects that may take decades or centuries. I call it my buds. And basically he's like, just took a whole bunch of his, like, mid-level managers from Vault-Tec and froze their ass and put them in the vaults, and basically using, or at least in those three vaults, using it as kind of a breeding pool to breed, like, super managers. Because we find out later on that, like, they sold off a bunch of the vaults to all the other corporations and been like, dude, y'all can do whatever fucking experiments you want on these people, and, you know, what we're gonna do is just let the world die and then we'll take over.
We're going to destroy the world, you know, to make our vault relevant. Like, that's the crazy thing to me.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, It's like the people you think are the bad guys turn out to be, like, the good guys in the end. Like, they were like, no, we're survivors, and we're trying to
like,
rebuild
humanity.
Like, I mean,
it is a great, you know, corporate greed, you know, political overthrow, and you know, that was one of the things I always liked about, you know, the Fallout games is, you know, I'm like, you know, my cynical psyche, I'm like, yeah, the true powers that be that really pull the strings, like...
Or a brain on a Roomba.
Oh, such a great line.
He's like fucking defeated by a dropped mop, and he's like, the fate of humanity is at stake, and he like hits the mop and it doesn't move. The fate of, and he's like, oh, damn, trying to like move the damn mop. I'm like, dude, y'all had robots and shit. Like, you should probably should have built a better. A better robot when you decided to go immortal.
I mean, that's the bad thing is, you know, like, we saw one of the Cogsworth models, but, you know, like, everybody had a Mr. Handy bot. You know, you weren't citizenry if you didn't have a Mr. Handy bot.
Mr. Handy bot. Oh. But yeah, we, yeah, that's one thing, too. I had to kind of go back and, like, look on the timeline because in Lucy's vault, their kind of classroom, it just, like, shows up into the Great War and nothing past that because they have not had any contact with the outside world that we know about. And then later on, she's, like, talking to Maximus, who's, and we'll get into his character in a second because I thought his shit was kind of funny, but she's like, hey, can you tell me what happened in the last 200 years? I know everything like from 27-7 to the first 300 and whatever years of America, but since then, a little fuzzy. And she's like, I know about the Great War. And he's like, yeah, the bombs dropped when I was a child. And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought it was 200 years from the other one. I'm like, is she just been told they've been in the vault 200 years, or have they only been in the vault for like a single generation? But then no, you find out when they get to Sadie Sands that there wasn't just one Great War. They were bombing shit. Like, you know, Vault-Tec. Oh, yeah. Vault-Tec's like, fuck, you know, the world hasn't collapsed yet. We need to, like, go up and, like, shut down these fucking survivors and you know, burn these surviving communities to the ground.
Goddamn corporations. Those communist bastards.
Yeah, that's another thing. I didn't pay attention to the, like the first year. I'm like, yeah, this is like the 60s, the fucking Red Scare. The, you know, everyone's like commies. It's like, no, just this is, they're future commies.
It's funny, you know, how, oh, we're trying to protect ourselves from this thing all the while being that thing we're trying to protect from.
And we find out the original like Vault Boy mascot is actually Coop.
Yeah. Doing his iconic thumbs up, you know, yeah. Like.
Oh, that line too, when you first get to him, because he's like, he's basically like a, I wouldn't say John Wayne, more of a, the goody two shoes cowboy character, like, tells his name. Roy Orbison. That was the, speaking of fucking Die Hard. Roy Rogers. He was more of a Roy Rogers type character where he was like, you know, a cowboy, but he tried to be like a good guy. He wasn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's arguing with his director, like,
do I got to kill him?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm the sheriff. Can I just arrest him? Like, you know, he's already, you know, unarmed.
It's like, no, Coop, these are different times now. Like,
we got to get a little more violent. And then, you know, you find out his wife works for Vault-Tec and she.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely hinted when, you know, it's like, oh, we got you a new wardrobe. You know, and it's the classic blue, yellow, like...
Yeah, which was his, like, cowboy outfit color. So it's like, hey, we even, yeah, tailored after... So that's why he, like, when you first meet him in the future, he hates the... As we kind of find out how the story progresses, why he hates the Vault-Tec so much.
Well, I mean, he lost his nose in the end.
Yeah. But yeah, I like that, you know, his... the fucking... his kid, like, the guy's like... When you first see him, he's like... basically performing at a birthday party and he's, hey, what can you do your thumbs up thing? He's like, nah, yeah, I don't think so. And then his daughter's like, what's the thumbs up thing? He's like, well, when I was in a Marine, they told us if a nuclear bomb did drop, you put your thumb up. And if the explosion's like, you know, smaller than your thumb, like you can run from the hills, but if it's bigger than your thumb, it isn't going to matter. And then later on, like, when the bombs start dropping, his daughter's like, is that your thumb or my thumb?
I mean, that is a thing. Like, I don't know. I got a really big thumb. I'm probably... Oh, shit. I'm not safe at all.
And we're fucked. Because they never explain, like, how he became a ghoul. I mean, you see him taking the drugs to maintain his humanity, and you see the other squire, like, trying to fix his foot, and that crazy... The fucking crazy, like, snake oil salesman. Like, ends up turning him
into
a ghoul.
Dude, those are in every RPG ever, like...
Yeah, hell, even when Red Dead Redemption, there was, like, the crazy fucking snake oil guy.
Be like, I got elixirs and potions to cure all your ailments.
But yeah, speaking of squires, we got Maximus, who's, you know, a low-level brotherhood guy, and he finally gets, like, promoted to squire, so you're, like, the dude who carries all the gear and takes care of the knight.
Dude, it's so funny, like, the dude in the T-60 power armor and everything, and it's like, the squire's just sitting there fucking dragging a bag bigger than he is. Like...
With all his shit... And then, like, as soon as they get attacked by, like, giant rat bear thing, his knight, like, runs and ends up getting fucked up. And he's like, you know, you should, this is all your fault. Like, they're going to hang you when we get back. And he's like, give me a health pack. And he's like, fuck you. You just said they're going to hang me. I'm just going to let you die, motherfucker. So then he's like, I'm going to take the suit and I'll be, you know, Knight Titus or whatever. And him just running around the wasteland trying to, like, I'm going to be a, because, you know, he was kind of rescued as a kid from Sadie Sands by some Brotherhood guys. So he'd, like, kind of worships those dudes. So he's like, I'm going to do right in the world. And he sees this guy beating the shit out of the fucking snake oil salesman and goes like, you know, stop, you know, leave this man alone. And he's like, that guy was trying to fuck my chickens. He's like, oh, well, yeah, sorry about that, son.
Dadgum chicken fucker.
Yeah. And you see him later on, like, out in the desert trying to, like, shoot himself. And he's got his shoe off and he's trying to, like, pull the trigger with his... And then he finally sees, like, another person. Oh, yeah, let me go sell this guy some snake oil.
Hello, traveler.
he's like, thinks that dude's, like, assaulting that guy. And he's like, no, dude, I was defending my chickens. He's a damn dirty chicken fucker.
Yeah, there was a good mix of drama and comedy through the series.
And just him, like, not knowing how to work the suit and just, like... And then when he gets, like... He's like, yeah, my squire died. Oh, we'll send you another one. And it was, like, the guy that had, like, bullied him when he was still in training. So he's, like, starts fucking with the guy and, like, doesn't really know what what he's doing. He's like... And then they end up, like, you know, saving each other when they're fighting that big, like, axolotl... fucking looking thing. Because we got a guy who escapes from the Enclave, which is apparently, I guess, like a Vault-Tec science lab or some shit, with an item. So the Brotherhood's hunting him because he got some kind of, like, tech. The Rebellion's hunting him, and then somebody's putting a bounty on his ass. And then Lucy's hunting him because she's like, well, if the Rebellion wants him, the fucking what's-her-name wants him, like, I'll trade him for my father.
Don't do it.
Oh, but fucking, like I said, we keep getting those flashbacks throughout the series. It kind of gives us the setup to everything and, you know, Coop. And then when you see Coop now, he's a 200-year-old fucking wasteland cowboy. I'm like, dude, I just want to see a whole movie about fucking zombie cowboy now. Because that's, like, was the coolest character in this fucking series to me.
That's why you got to play Red Dead Redemption. Like, yeah. What was it? Something Nightmare?
It was, like, after you beat it, there was, like, a zombie expansion expansion pack where you could fight zombies and shit. Because he had some of the best fucking lines in the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, when Lucy first, like, meets him, like, because, like I said, she's like, well, I'm gonna leave the vault, even though I've never been to the outside world, and... try to find my father. And she's just armed with, like, a even though they had machine guns in the vault, she just takes, like, a trank gun with her. And when he shows up trying to take the guy, she ends up shooting him with the trank gun. He's like, oh, sweetheart, that's just a drop in the bucket of a big old bucket of drugs I'm already on. He's like, I'm already high as shit. This instance ain't gonna do nothing to me.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing, though, you know? Like, she, you know, knew no better of, you know, the world above, or that there was a, you know, civilization above or anything, you know? Like, so it's like, oh, well, it's desolate. I'm probably not going to encounter anything, judging by what I keep getting told. And then you find out, like, oh, there's still a whole fucking world up here. Like, the cards start unraveling.
Yeah. They told us that, you know, no one survived the Great War, and we're just waiting for it to not be radioactive anymore. Oh, then you got, she's like, you know, homeboy gets his foot blown off because Ghoul's like, you can't run if you ain't got a foot. So they gotta give him a robot foot, and he's like limping through the desert and like sits down. He's like, you've got to get me to Madalvo or whatever. And she's like, oh yeah, I promise. He's like, I'm not gonna make it. He's like, no, I promise, I'm gonna get you through this. You're gonna live. He said, no, I just took a bunch of cyanide. It's actually a Vol-Tec, like, you know, suicide pill. That, I don't know why they weren't more popular. They're very effective. She's like, why would you do that? He's like, I'm slowing you down. Like, my entire body doesn't have to get there. Like, you just need to get my head there. And like, here, take a chainsaw. It's like, the fuck?
Like, where's that been all along?
Oh. And his canine companion.
Yeah. Dude, it was so cool to see Dog Meat. Like, that was always the highlight, you know? That was your companion. Good old trusty faithful Dog Meat.
Yeah, and that's when Coop figured out Vol-Tec was evil, because there's like, there's no dogs in the vaults. He's like, who the fuck decided there was no dogs in the vaults? You need to quit this shit right now. I don't trust nobody. Don't let us have dogs in the vault.
Yeah, I mean that. Well, dogs eat meat. Well, I mean, they eat a lot of different things. Like,
yeah, cats have to eat meat. Dogs can. They're more omnivore. They can actually stomach like non meat, where cats, like, you try to make a vegan cat, they'll fucking die.
So what do you feed your cats?
People.
Ghouls. How many rads has that cat ingested? All of them. But I mean, that was a cool thing, like exploring the wasteland, getting to see, you know, the rad roaches and stuff of that nature. Like, you know, like that was probably the number one most common enemy that you were going to encounter, you know, was the fucking roaches. And
that was the common loot drop character. Yeah, when like her first night in the wasteland, she's like, you know, asleep by a fire, and she wakes up and like Dog Meat's there eating a roach, and homeboy's just already sitting there. He's like, hey, by the way, you must be new here. You shouldn't have fires at night. It attracts roaches. Just, yeah, heads up.
Although it was weird with the bear. I don't remember there ever being a bear in the Fallout series.
It was almost like a giant rat bear.
Yeah. But
it's man bear pig.
The two-headed bovine. I can't remember what they called those in the games, but those were a thing.
Get twice as much steak.
Well, I mean, maybe cow tongue or something. Like.
Oh, yeah, and when Ghoul catches up to Homegirl, and they've lost the head temporarily, and all his drugs get smashed, he's like, well, I'm going to use you to get some more drugs. She's like, don't you believe in the golden rule? You do unto others, they should do unto you. And he's like, fuck that, you just do on to others before they do on to you. And takes them to like supermarket, and it turns out to be like a organ harvest, but like they send her in there, and it's like they got that, you know, snip snip handy bot, and he's like, oh, your finger is cut off, let me help you. And like, you know, fucking gives her a new finger. He's like, oh, that's very nice, I thought y'all were gonna rape me. He's like, oh no, that's ew, no, we weren't gonna rape you, I'm just gonna harvest your organs. What? He's just so friendly about it.
Just love that they all have that fucking at the house party, and I can't remember the character's name now, but they all have his voice, because he's like, yeah, man, you know, eventually we all, you know, just kind of sell out, and he's like, I sold my voice to blah, 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 and now all the robots have it.
Yeah, and he's like, and fuck, they gave me one, like, now I have to come home and, like, you know, and it's like,
you know how weird it is to be greeted by yourself?
Oh. And then you got, yeah, like, after she, like, escapes and frees all the people, even the ghouls that have gone feral, and she even, you know, still goes out and gives a ghoul his, like, you know, drugs. He's like, hey, golden rule, motherfucker.
Yeah. I thought that was a great line, like...
And then he goes in and, like, you know, fucking finds the TV, and he's like, oh shit, this is one of my movies. And you see he did finally do the thing where he kills the guy at the end instead of arresting him. He finally went with it, and they find him all passed out because he's like, you know...
Fucking takes all of the damn inhalants.
He's like, ooh, pills?
What were the... Jet something, I think, is what they called them in the games.
But yeah, he gets, like, arrested, and they take him to the whoever's, like, the president of the wasteland. And he's like, hey, man. Oh, he's like, oh, shit, y'all said y'all caught a ghoul. You didn't say you caught the ghoul. This guy's a fucking legend. And he's like, you got any, like, neat, like... Because it was his fucking trigger finger got cut off. So he's like, hey, y'all got any, like, some thread and needles? Like, we don't do a whole lot of sewing. And he's like, I got some in my pack. And so he, like, sews his trigger finger on and then starts talking shit. So they'll attack him, like, you know, take his guns before he you know, does something stupid. And then he still, like, fucking disarms him and, like, kills everybody.
Yeah, he's a badass.
And then when you see the new California Ranger fucking lead farmers, it's fucking nuts. They had some cool cameos in this. It was goddamn Ponch, man. Eric Estrada. I was like, of course he's a fucking California Ranger.
Of course.
And he's like, didn't you used to have three sons? Well, see, I found one of them, and, you know, apparently he had joined the rebellion, and your other son here is also a part of that, but see, by the time I got this note off of him, there's, like, this big bloody bullet hole in it, and he's like, couldn't really make out where he was supposed to be heading, so could you, you know, mind telling me where where I need to go?
Yeah, well, it's like, no, my son's not going to draw on you. You can leave peacefully, blah, 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 fucker. It's like the gun that you saw is not the gun that got you.
Nope. And I like his gun. They're like little rocket launch, like fucking rockets and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Those things were like fucking nasty.
Fucking explode on impact.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to worry about hitting your target when everything around your target goes boom.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like, it's not the bullet that kills you. It's the fall off the bridge you were standing on when I destroyed it.
And then you get, homeboy gets injured in a fight with the cannibals, and they find a med center, and it turns out it's like a vault trap. And they end up in Vault 4, which was the kind of like the one of the original vaults that they were advertising in those videos that Coop was making. And it was weird as shit, because I'm like, they're like, oh, this is a fucking cult. Like, these people are way too... And she's like, no, we're safe here. It's a vault. But it's, like, not her vault. And there's mutants and shit in here. This is fucking weird. And the homeboy who's, like, you know, grew up in the outside world, she's like, you know, whatever, they're one of their leaders is like, hey, why don't you, here, take your own room, like, you know, go get a hot shower. And he's like, what is this hot shower you speak of? And then he, like, you know, finds the room, and he's like, oh, shit, hot water and fucking soap, and, like, you know, gets that caviar, and he, like, you know, get the fucking robe and the slippers, and all that. He's like, dude, what is this?
Yeah. Just, like, sit back and chill with my bucket of popcorn.
Yeah. She's like, and then she goes to that party, or she finds, like, the classroom, and it's like, oh, no, their map doesn't end with America. That's like, they've got the fall of Sadie Sands and like the new California Republic, and there's like a lot of people in here that are surfaced survivors that weren't in the original vaults that like the vault people allowed in. And then she goes to that party and it turns out to be a weird, let's rub cremated people ash on us and have an orgy. And I'm like, oh shit, she fell in a cult.
Well, I mean, that's one way to, you know, keep the population thriving, I suppose.
But what's funny is like, she goes, cause they're like, whatever you do, stay off of level 12. So like,
of course you're going to go to level 12. Yeah.
And she finds, like, people in the cryo tubes and finds, like, a video of somebody getting eaten by giving birth to, like, monsters that eat her and shit. And then she's like, oh, man, y'all are, and they're like, no, here, like, watch this video. Like, this vault was an experiment. Like, they were trying to combine DNA of, like, radiation-resistant creatures with the vault dwellers. And that's why we got, you know, he's like, that fucking dinosaur there that eats the dude, that was my great grandfather. He's like, so we overthrew the vault, and you know, and now we're what you saw in that lab was us trying to help the people that were experimented on. And she's like, oh shit, I just totally thought y'all were a cult. And he's like, but now you're going to be punished for doing, you know, violence, bringing violence to our world. And you know, they bring her in front of everybody, and it's she's like, he's like, pulls out that big ass sword. He's like, now we sentence you to death. Death by banishment. And then he starts just using the sword to, like, cut her ropes, and he's like, so you're just gonna make me leave? Yeah.
And by the way, take 2 weeks worth of rations. Yeah. And
he's like, but you'll definitely die out there, we're gonna give you 2 weeks worth of rations. They're trying to be, like, the nicest motherfuckers. Oh, sorry, I thought you were a cult.
And then Maximus comes and fucks it all up.
And she's like, no, Maximus, we're cool. Oh, sorry, somebody might want to help that guy. Sorry, I tossed your coat. And then, you know, gives them back their power source.
It's like, oops.
My bad. Like, thank you.
Stole your fusion generator. My bad. It's like, we can't just leave them without power. Fine.
Oh. And them tracking Homeboy down to, like, the radio station. You got Fred, another cameo. Like, Fred, like, a lot of Saturday Night Live guys in this. The Cyclops that was the overseer of Vault 4 was, I think Chris Parnell or whatever from Saturday Night Live. And then the guy who runs the one radio station who just plays nothing but old, what the hell did they call it? Fiddle music or?
Yeah, fiddle music.
Yeah, old fiddle music. And he's like, if you have complaints, do not come to the radio station. I do not seek visitors. And, you know, and Homeboy's like, hey man, thanks for letting me, you know, use your radio to call my people. He's like, yeah, no problem. And he's like, you really did a good job in all these booby traps. These are like fucking giant bear traps. And he's like, yeah, I get a lot of complaints. Some people actually doesn't like this music. The freaking Fred Armisen is the...
Yeah, I mean, that was always a staple, though. Just that very old, you know, early 1900s sounding, you know, not quite classical, but...
Yeah, and then Homer gets, like, an arrow through the neck, and he's like, why are they dead? He's like, dude, I think you're a ghoul. Damn it, I'm a ghoul. I knew I shouldn't have trust that chicken fucker. He's like, they'll definitely kill me. He's like, all right, well, give me the head, and I'll just distract them, y'all. Yeah, go on. And then he, like, switches the actual head and gets, like, just a random head. He's like, they're not going to stop hunting this, so let me, like, at least slow them down, and you maybe can complete your mission. And, you know, I'll find you. And you'll make my dick explode.
Yeah, that was the thing, is he did not understand. Like,
yeah.
Things get hard, and then, you know...
It just pops like a pimple. It's horrible. She's like, no, that's actually normal. It's supposed to happen every time. You want to have sex?
Ideally.
Not right. Then, like, later on, after he's like, yo... He's like, all this vault stuff is awesome. You want to make my dick explode now? She's like, what?
Sorry, I got a headache.
Turns out I got, like, dead people ash and saw a bunch of old people titties.
I mean, some folks would consider that a win.
I mean, you got one guy with, like, the fucking nose on his forehead and shit. And the extra ears. So then she finally makes it to the observatory, which turns out to be the headquarters of the new California Republic military or whatnot, and we find out the thing that's been in the head all this time That head got fucked up. That head went through a lot of shit.
I mean, the fucking gulper, you know.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it turns out
that... oversized frog.
Because we found out in some of, like, the flashbacks that she had actually invented cold fusion, but Vault-Tec bought up all the all her equipment and tried to hide her technology, and she was just trying to get the cold fusion generator so she could, like, basically repower the wastelands. And of course the only person who has, like, the code word to activate it is someone who's actually Vault-Tec management. And then that's when we get the revelation that all the overseers are actually, like, original Vault-Tec guys from 200 years ago that had just been frozen and reinstated whenever they needed a new overseer. And we find out, you know, through further flashbacks that it wasn't like the nuclear war wasn't random. It was Vault-Tec and the other evil corporations, like, let's just blow everything up.
We got to make our product relevant.
Yeah. You know, we're going to outlast our enemies by, you know, destroying the world ourselves and then rebuild it with the people we want to rebuild it with. And then, you know, finally she's like, here's how I know your dad is because, you know, your mother, you know, realized that the world had survived. She, you know, something was siphoning off the water supply and she found out that there was people outside. So she left the vault with, you know, you and your brother and found this thriving city. Well, your dad tracked y'all down and took the kids back and burned that city to the ground. So he's the one that actually fucking nuked, Sandy Plains or so. Like, all this time she's been trying to rescue her father when turns out her father's the bad guy.
And that was cool in itself because that, you know, that goes back to video game lore. Like, that's the whole reason you leave the vault is, you know, something happens with the water chip and you lose your ability to have clean running water. So you leave to go explore for said water.
Which, they did announce that, like, you know, they're having trying to figure out who's going to be the new overseer after the raid. And, you know, they got the two guys that are, like, trying to be co-overseer. And then, like, the one old black lady that eventually, Betty, who we find out is also an original Vault-Tec person. And that guy comes and goes, hey, I got to announce, you know, we got a problem. Like, well, we don't have any secrets. Tell everybody. Are you sure? Because this is the kind of thing that, you know, Overseer Hank would have probably handled himself. Well, no, we're the overseers now. Go ahead. Water chip's broken. We're all going to, like, you know, run out of water in a month. Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe we should have had this conversation in private.
Just so oblivious. Like.
Yeah, even the one guy, when they're having their vote, you know, the one guy's pretty much like, hey, man, like, you did a good campaign, but I got to vote for somebody with experience. And Betty's already been an overseer once before. And he's like, no, I understand it. Yeah. That's why we vote in private. You don't have to tell me. He's like, I'm going to vote for Betty. Yeah, I figured that out. And then when he gets into the booth himself, he's like, who am I kidding? He doesn't even vote for himself. Yeah. He votes for Betty as well. He's like, I don't want to do this shit.
I'm a pacifist. I suck at leading because I won't make a decision.
Yeah. Oh, and then the Brotherhood shows up to attack the rebellion, and we get, like, just a badass, like, fucking battle scene, and Ghoul showing up. He is just pimp as fuck in that like dudes in the armored suits and shit running. He's like, just whistles, and they all turn around. He's like, you boys must think you're awfully tough in those metal suits, don't you? I should know. I used to wear one. And, you know, there was a defect. Just sitting there, just fucking having this conversation, like, loading his gun, and, like, there was a defect in those old T-60s. There's a weakness in the whale just below the chest armor. I wonder if they fix those in these new versions. And, like, shoots the guy and, like, just fucking kind of head explodes on the inside. He's like, guess not. And then just fucking just proceeds to, like, murk everybody.
Oops. Should have patched that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a badass in that final battle. And when he gets up to the, you know, fucking Maximus and, you know, walks in with a headless battle suit and frees her father, and before he realizes he's the bad guy, and he, like, you know, ends up knocking him out. And she's like, you know, now that she's realized that her father not only nuked that city but killed her mother, you know, she's like pointing the gun at him, but she can't pull the trigger. And then freaking Ghoul comes in and just shoots him in the face, and he's like, "How you doing, Hank?" He's like, "You see, when you said your name was Lucy McLean, I was like, I wonder if it related to old Hank McLean." And he's like, "You know, I've been waiting 200 years to ask this question. Where the fuck is my family?" And then, of course, he, like, you know, fucking takes off and shit. And she's like, "Why'd you let him leave?" And he's like, "Well, it's a whole lot easier to track down a stuck pig than to ask it where it's going."
Yep.
he's going to go find... He's like, "Now you can stay here with your boy. And when all his little tin can buddies get in here, and they will get in here, they're going to kill everybody. Or you can come with me, and we can go find your makers." And she's like, "All right, let's cowboy up."
But I thought it was cool, because this is where, you know, we get the nod to New Vegas, which is where, you know, ultimately it looks like Hank is fleeing to.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's kind of how it ends with him flying out in the desert, and you see what appears to be New Vegas in the distance. And then you see Ghoul and Dog Meat and Lucia heading out to start their mission in front of the Hollywood sign.
But you missed the part where we all hail Maximus.
Yeah, because, like,
everybody shows up and is like, "Holy shit, Maximus!"
Yeah, because Madalvo, like, wanders in, and she's, like, fatally wounded, and she starts the cold fusion machine, and all the lights start turning on in back on Vegas, and she sits down with zombie Lucy's mom, and she's like, "We did it. We finally, like, you know, restarted the city." And she, you know, and Maximus has been knocked out all this time. He wakes up, and everybody's gone, and she's like, "Well, what do you think your brotherhood will do with unlimited power? Can you stop them, or will you stop them?" And then she dies, and then, like, all the brotherhood comes in, and we're like, "That's the leader. Did you kill her?" And he's like, "No." And, like, "No, he killed her. All hell, Knight Maximus." So now he's like, "Ah, fuck, now." Somehow I'm now, like, you know, getting promoted again from just... The dude has the best luck. I mean, he keeps failing upward.
I mean, that's the best way. Like, you know, just... fake it till you make it, you know? I mean, you know, that was the epitome of his character. Like, I don't know how to be a knight. I don't know how to operate this armor. Like, fuck. His squire kicks his ass because it's just like, "Yeah, I'm going to pull that fusion core from you now and have fun dying in your suit."
And getting, like, covered in fucking roaches and shit. That'd be a horrible way to die. Either you get eaten by something, or you just, like, fucking... die of dehydration in your suit, in your fucking coffin. That's not a job for somebody who's claustrophobic.
So, speaking of that scene, so when Lucy approaches, and, you know, he's trapped in the suit, and he's like, "Help me," blah blah blah, and she has her bout of nausea. Is that radiation sickness? Or did her little foray with Homeboy in the beginning actually knock her up? Because I thought she took a knife to the stomach, and I was
like... I did, too.
Cause you,
like,
know,
that's,
I'm like...
Because that was her whole thing, like, "I still have all my reproductive organs. I should be, you know, married off." And Homeboy stabbed her in the stomach, so I don't know if it... I mean, he does give her some radiation medicine, and she perks right back up. But, yeah, it's like, is she knocked up? Or is that where we're going to see pregnant Lucy with... Stepdaddy Ghoul in the next season? Because it's already been, you know, renewed for season two.
Who would have saw that coming? But I think the cool thing about this series is, you know, especially for people like yourself that are not familiar with the Fallout games and that sort of thing, like...
Yeah, there's enough lore to follow it along without having to know, like the game.
I really, really hope that this is that push... to where we get a Fallout 5.
Well, I've heard, like, there were some things that they wanted to do in the series that Bethesda was like, "Don't do it. We're going to do that Fallout 5. So, supposedly Fallout 5 isn't, you know, no kind of ETA on that, but it's supposedly in the works. Especially now that I saw, like I said, the subscriptions to, like, the previous games have all, like, there's been just a mass influx of new Fallout players after the, and hell, I'll probably be one of them at some point, you know.
I mean, those are just great games, like, you know, that's, you know, Fallout 4 has been one of the ones that I go back, you know, I kind of go between that and Witcher 3, like, when I'm out of town and in a hotel with nothing to do and internet shitty, I'm like, I don't need internet for this, like, go through and, you know, find me some Nuka-Colas.
That's the reason so many games now are, like, multiplayer online shit that I'm like, dude, I'm antisocial. I just want to play by myself. I don't want to have to, like, deal with...
But that's the thing. Fallout is not a, you know... Like, yeah, it's got RPG elements. It's got first-person shooter, but it is not a, you know, massive multiplayer online type thing. It's, you know, you and you're doing your own thing, and, you know, if you're interested in falling down that hole, you know, I can hook you up with some of the mods and stuff to be like, oh, this 15-year-old game all of a sudden now looks like the games I'm playing, you know, today.
Oh, yeah, and they got that new Star Wars game. It's like Star Wars Outlaws. It's like Grand Theft Auto Star Wars. I'm like, that I may have to play as well.
I keep telling you to get on that Game Pass so you can get EA and you'll have the full Star Wars. No, you'll have, like, EA's got all the Star Wars games. So, you know, it's like, oh, shit, I want to go back and replay this. Oh, this new thing's out. It's there.
Fuck yeah, I'm going to have to,
you know,
get around to doing that.
You know, and
it's a matter of time and money, and I never have both at the same time.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, you're paying, like, $4 a month for a subscription, like... Well, hey, I've already beat this thing, so fucking cancel the subscription. Oh, there's a new thing out now. Oh, it's there. All right, I'll give you $4 for this month. Cancel the subscription.
It's kind of like HBO. It's like every time I just go to cancel it, some new series comes out. I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, I haven't watched HBO in a while. I need to cancel this. Oh, fuck, we got, like, The Boys are coming back. Or no, Boys on Prime. Fucking, what's his name? The John Cena series. Peacemaker. Yeah. Oh, damn it. Peacemaker's coming. Coming out.
Time to get on your dancing shoes. do some epic peacemaking.
Yeah, like, he's like, dude, you should brand me.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. I'm not your official guard. Okay. And he's like, by the way, it's me, Maximus. God damn it, I can't believe I let you brand me, you motherfucker.
You never get somebody's name tattooed on you. Like, just don't do it.
So what do you think happens to Norm? You know, he was, like, investigating all the Vault Tech shit and then found Brain on Azumba and is like, I can't let you leave. He's like, until, like, you know, we're all ready to go to the service, but that could be another 100 years. Well, I guess you better crawl in one of these cryo tubes because I ain't letting you out. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't necessarily know that we see his return.
And do you think, because someone poisoned, because the people running the vault was like, we're going to just lock up the people who raided the vault. We're not going to kill them. And do you think, because he's in charge of feeding them, and someone, like, killed them all with rat poison, do you think he did it, or do you think, like, the new shady overseer, or even one-eyed girl, who is also from Vault 31, we find out, do you think one of them took them out?
I don't know. You know, Norm kind of needed a comeuppance with, you know, uncovering the cover-ups and that sort of stuff with his IT prowess. I would like to kind of think that, hey, you know what? Sometimes things need doing, and,
yeah,
you know, kind of took that initiative, you know? I mean, he's got that kind of quiet, you know, demeanor to
nobody
will be none the wiser.
Off in those people, but then again, with all the conspiracy shit he's discovering, you know, like, I could also see the conspiracy
Well, I mean, you saw before, you know, where he rolls in the tray of, you know, the fucking Jell-O dessert, and it's like, what, the prisoners get Jell-O desserts? Oh, here, take it, you know? Nobody will ever know, yeah, you know? So, I mean, he's, yeah, he's already not fans, so
What do you think happened in Vault 2? Do you think that was like another experiment? Let's just like make all these people go, or is it like when they were saying in some of the flashbacks that if you leave a group of rats together for too long, they'll start eating each other? Did they just go crazy naturally, or was it a Vault Tech experiment?
No, I think it was absolutely a Vault Tech experiment. You know, when they were like, you know, the vaults will be ran by scientists.
Yeah, fucking Resident Evil type shit happens.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the series did a good job of keeping in there, but it also left a lot of, like, unanswered questions that you're like, all right, yeah, I'm down for a season two, because there's enough shit that they, like, teased that they didn't fully wrap up that you're like, oh, fuck, now I want to see where this thread leads to. You know, and do we get some continuation, or do we get some, like, let's go check out some other vaults and see what kind of weird shit's going on in those vaults.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you get, you know, some weird shit.
Because the people in 4 that knew what were going on, she's like, so what experiment was going on in your vault? And she's like, what are you talking about? There's no experiment. And you're like, oh, you're naive. There was definitely an experiment going on in your vault. You
well, I mean, the whole vault was an experiment, you know, where it was like...
And they were basically like...
You know, not realizing that, hey, this is a projected hologram, you know, sun and everything else, like, all the while above you is actual sun. Like,
just break out start saving your bottle caps for the apocalypse. Well, this, My Father cigar, like I said, not a whole lot of information on it, but it bring a lot of flavor, a little peppery, but like a sweetness to it, but not like over like, that dark chocolate and espresso that we kind of describe in a lot of cigars. Like I said, I do like a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. It's that, you know, they all tend to have like a little bit of a pepper hit to them. And I do like a peppery cigar. So check her out. You know, don't trade a severed head for it, but you know, if you can pick up some of these, My Father cigars, definitely do. Or if you do have a severed head around, you know, hey, try to make a deal, whatever. That's all we got for you this week. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your...
Tune in to the Dragon Con Report podcast, your ultimate destination for all things Dragon Con.
Join us each month as we dive into our home away from home and cover the world of con fandom, cosplay, gaming, and more.
With guests each show, behind-the-scenes insights, tips and tricks, and the latest updates on this year's convention.
Whether you're a seasoned attendee or a first-time explorer,
the Dragon Con Report is your passport to the ultimate geek experience.
Join us and let your inner dragon roar.
Welcome back to some science, not nerd news yet. I got those ass backward.
Oops.
I'm a little dyslexic today.
We skipped to the end.
Yeah.
Now we go back in time.
Yeah, spoiler alert. This is the food poisoning episode, so I'm like half delirious from bad chili.
Dude, for you to have food poisoning, you're doing a lot better than, like, maybe there's different severities of food poisoning.
Yeah, because Amanda was like puking her guts out. I just got like fucking dizzy and lightheaded all day.
Like, the last time I got it, dude, I was like... I attempted to drive myself to the drugstore, and the world was spinning so bad that I was like, I can't fucking drive.
I also went to class today. Managed not to, like, puke. Because it didn't hit me until, like, the next day. A day later, because Amanda was, like, sick, like, the very next day, and I didn't get sick till, like, the day after.
Ugh. So you had a bite, she had the full course.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I just got, like, an iron
Where did
stomach.
You go so I know to avoid it?
It was either Dairy Queen or the biscuits and gravy we had for breakfast. It's one or the other.
Were they sketchy biscuits and gravy?
It was canned gravy. I was like, why the fuck are you buying canned gravy? You like... Gravy is like one of the easiest fucking things to make. It's all
some,
it is
like milk, some flour.
Yeah. But yeah, no, she brought home like this canned fucking sausage gravy shit. I was like, yeah, I didn't trust it.
You were preparing for hard times?
Yeah. Got to start stocking the bunker. Well, you know, we talked about, you know, weird sci-fi shit. Well, the U.S. Navy plans to test its first high-powered microwave weapon on board a seafaring vessel in early 2026, known as Project Meteor.
So, is this where I start wearing a tinfoil hat, protect myself from the microwaves?
You might need to, because this weaponry blasts out beams of intense electromagnetic energy that will fry electronics of drones or missiles.
So when we talked about people having portable EMPs and how dangerous that could be, this very much sounds like it's a portable EMP.
According to the United States Naval Institute News, Meteor will provide capability with low cost per shot, deep magazine, tactically significant range, short time engagement for multi-target approach, dual deception and defeat capability.
I mean, I deal a lot with microwaves currently. I wonder...
Can they make burritos?
Not those kind of microwaves. These send out beams, but... Can I make them... All right, new project next week at work.
I'm going to try to heat up your lunch on a fucking cell tower.
I'd be like... My innards are starting to get warm. I'm getting fuzzy.
Feeling a little ghoulish.
I'm probably getting the RF right now. Wow, I'm used to me doing that. Not so much you. You almost died.
I mean, this computer's probably got enough ash in it that it doesn't matter.
You just bombed your laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, so they say kind of this push for these cheaper... high-frequency electromagnetic weapons is due to the rise of low-cost drones, which we've seen in kind of the Ukraine fight, people just basically taking off-the-shelf drones and strapping bombs to them. And so kind of the need for anti-drone technology is becoming more and more important in this future wartime. And sad news for all you UK... cigar smokers. Apparently, a vote just passed in the UK for a lifetime ban on buying tobacco for anyone born after 2009. Their plan is just to let all the old smokers die off, I guess. So, yeah. This law would prevent anyone born after 2009 from ever legally being able to purchase tobacco in the UK.
All right, so we are going to go to the UK with all of our surplus of tobacco.
Yeah,
and we're gonna live like kings.
The UK government,
because you know, the war on drugs, the war on
smoke-free generation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that's what happens when your country doesn't have a Second Amendment. They try that shit here. You're gonna start stacking bodies.
You think so?
Yes.
You can't buy tobacco, but you can buy this wacky backy.
Yeah, like time to start growing our own tobacco. Start just making your own fucking cigars.
Be like, hey man, I know a way. I can get this to you.
I mean, yesterday was 420, so did you celebrate properly?
I did not. I
ended up watching Fallout all night.
I went to...
smoking a cigar, but yeah, I didn't...
Rachel did her bachelorette party and left me alone. So I went to the lake for a little bit, and my buddy gave me a new sim rig chassis, and I worked on cutting and drilling lots of metal. Try to make me another house car. Speaking of which, if you want a house car chassis, I have one. It'll only take up your shed. Be fine.
Wouldn't be bad if it like could break down and be like stored. But yeah, it'd take up a little bit of room in here. I don't have the room for...
It'd take up...
It's kind of like a, you know, VR.
But you don't play games, so, you know. But I guess you could watch movies in your house car.
I don't know. I used to like racing games. Like, what was it, the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit where you got to run from the cops?
Yeah.
I used to love the shit out of that game.
But, yeah, apparently, I guess you're going to be the weapons YouTuber, and I'm going to make my career in sim drifting, I suppose.
Cause... I mean, fucking Twitch is like, that's pretty, you just start playing games on Twitch.
Although I realize with VR, as cool as it is... It's finicky. We'll save this for news.
Well,
I mean, it is technology and science, but...
Speaking of simulations, a physicist studying COVID believes he has found hints we are living in a simulation. I don't know why a physicist is studying COVID, but... a physicist studying mutations of the SARS-CoV-2 virus claims to have found evidence for a new law of physics termed the second law of infodynamics. And that could indicate we are living in a simulated universe.
My simulation sucks. Can somebody reset it?
He also suggests that the study appears to imply the theory of evolution is incorrect, with mutations not being entirely random. Dun, dun, dun.
This is dangerous knowledge, man.
Dr. Melvin
Vobson. This is
Vobson.
How people disappear. Vobson. No, he sounds like a mad scientist.
Basically, in his latest study, he looked at mutations in the SARS-CoV-2 virus from an information entropy, a term distinct from usual entropy, perspective. The physical entropy of a given system is a measure of all its possible physical microstates compatible with the macro state. Yeah, okay, that's a bunch of big words that I have no idea what it means, but yeah.
Micro is small, macro is big.
We are, we're living in a simulation, man. It's the Matrix, man.
What did you take, the red pill, the blue pill? You weren't feeling well, so you've taken both pills?
Yeah, it's like you just take both, and it's... See, what you do is you take Benadryl and chase it with Viagra, and it's just a race to see if you get up before you pass out.
I nutted in my sleep. I woke up sticky.
You want to make my cock explode? What? Well, you know, speaking of vaults, did you know that the U.S. had a secret nuclear bunker designed to save Congress from Armageddon? It was called Project Greek Island. It is now declassified, no longer in use, but I believe it's actually a tourist attraction now where you can go see it because it was hidden under a luxury hotel in West Virginia.
Of course it was.
Yes.
I mean, I thought that was the whole purpose of the White House, is it had an underground bunker network.
Well, it probably does, but this was specifically for... Congress. So it was it was basically
all the more reason we need term limits.
In
term limits for Congress, the Senate, for all the things.
Yeah, it was in the Green Bar Hotel in White Sulphur Springs with the bomb shelter originally designed in the 1950s would house members of Congress and the US House of Representatives and Senate in the event of a nuclear Armageddon. And for 30 years, it was secretly hidden right under the nose of American holidaymakers.
What I think is funny, though, is, like, all of these bunkers, you know what you have to do? Travel to said bunker.
Yeah, that's one of the things they're like, how we would get the people there, because it's like a 5-hour drive from D.C., in the middle of, they're like, so even when this thing was in use, nuclear missiles are fast enough that it would have been hard pressed to get these fuckers like out. And, you know, if we didn't have any kind of lead up time to get them out of DC to like, you know, 4 to 5 hours, unless you flew. But even then, that's going to be like an hour flight.
And wouldn't that raise suspicion? Like, especially now, like, hey, why are all the politicians gravitating to this one place?
That too, like, apparently it was so secret that not even a lot of the politicians that would use it knew about it. So they would even still, there's the added time of them tracking everybody down. I'm like, hey, Senator, we got to get you, we got to get you to West Virginia. So yeah, it's,
what about my wife and kids? Do you allow dogs?
Yeah, it had 1,100 beds, two big meeting rooms, like basically 6 months of food and enough air for 72 hours after that. That ventilation system would filter out radiation and biological contaminants from the air outside circulant through the shelter.
Brought to you by Vault-Tec.
Yeah, Vault-Tec. Well, that's all I got for you this week. Now we'll be right back with some nerd news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in nerd news.
And welcome to this rendition of nerd news.
Yeah, news.
All right, first up, we have the first trailer for Transformers 1. We get to see the origins of Optimus Prime and Megatron. So, you know, when you're talking about Paramount, this is one of those Paramount things that we're going to have to subscribe for.
God damn it.
Yeah.
They keep bringing shit that I'm like, I don't want to subscribe to another thing. And they keep bringing out shit that I'm like, God damn it. Now I need to subscribe to that thing.
Yeah, I guess this was first released at CinemaCon, but now, you know, it's all over YouTube. You know, this is going to star Chris Hemsworth, Brian Henry, you know, and it's basically just going to be the origin of how our most iconic Transformers in the universe, Orion Pax, D-16, went from brother in arms to becoming sworn enemies. So, I don't know. I kind of like this direction, you know, the origin story and, you know.
Being kind of a more comedic and whatnot.
Yep.
I'm working on nicknames. How about Badassatron? Pronounced Badassatron.
Yeah. So, I'm really kind of excited for this. You know, Scarlett Johansson will be in the voice cast, Keegan-Michael Key, Lawrence Fishburne, and John Hamm. This will be directed by Josh Cooley, who did Toy Story 4. And it is set to be released September 20th, 2024.
Hmm.
I don't know, you know, like, some people are kind of knocking it, you know, because of the animation style, and, you know, it looks like a kid's movie, but at the same time, like, this looks like one of those that, you know, can kind of bridge the gap, you know, for both, you know? Like, yeah, it's Transformers, you know, but there's enough nods and stuff like that for the adults to be like, haha, I find the humor in that the kids don't.
I had to look it up because I went to high school with a Josh Cooley. It's not the same guy. He's the right age, too. I'm like, is that Cooley? Nope, different Cooley.
Different Cooley. Damn. Moving right along, Keanu Reeves will be starring in a airplane disaster movie called The Entertainment System Is Down.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Can't watch videos on my plane.
Yeah.
What a riot.
So, I guess the director of this, Ruben Östlund, did Triangle of Sadness. I don't know. It's
okay.
It's described as a social satire set in a long-haul flight on which the entertainment system isn't working, sparking chaos and rages amongst passengers. I mean, I kind of feel like that's already a thing. Like,
yeah, this is a reality show.
Yeah.
Speaking of Triangle of Sadness, I saw a picture today that, it was an anime tattoo. And
Is it anime just because you didn't understand what property it was?
No, it was definitely like a hentai tattoo, but the guy's belly button was the vagina.
It's like the cat asshole tattoo.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, to each their own, whatever. So this is basically going to be a study on how human beings interact in this little laboratory that is a plane, where people's patience is low, tensions and anxieties oftentimes are high, and we'll look at how modern human beings are wrecked under these circumstances.
Yeah, so a few times I've flown, I'm just like, yeah, just give me whatever movie's on the flight, and let me just zone the fuck out till we get where we're going. Or sleep. I don't want to interact with everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on some flights where, you know, like, I've had some good conversations. You know, I've been on other flights where literally the person sitting right next to me is having a fucking panic attack. And it's like, you know, here's my philosophy with getting on a plane. As soon as I sit down, it's out of my control. Whatever's yeah. going to happen is going to happen. Like, you know, I've been on the flights with, you know, high turbulence and, like, everybody starts screaming and gasping. And I'm like, I don't understand the point. Like, if we're going down, we're going down. Like, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, it was like the last time I think it was like flying into San Diego. Like, the runway is right next to like a whole bunch of houses. So I'm like looking out the window and I'm like, the roofs of the houses are getting awfully close. Getting real, real fucking close. And it's like, and there's the landing strip. Ooh. I was starting to get nervous there at the last. I'm like, are we going to find this fucking runway?
Nah, dude. You know, that plane's a lot bigger than a house. Should be fine. Everything will be fine. No release date on this one yet, but I don't know. Like, be kind of different seeing Kiana in...
Non-John Wick or...
Yeah.
Bill and Ted.
It's just going to be John Wick on a plane at this point.
The remake Passenger 57 with Wesley Snipes. Remember that movie?
Yes. God, I'd forgot about that.
Die Hard on a plane.
Exactly. Sam Raimi and Jon Favreau reportedly are possible directors of Spider-Man No Way Home sequel.
Nice.
So Marvel and Sony are currently on the hunt for a director to take on the film. And I guess there was an interview where Justin Lin and Drew Goddard were also mentioned, but there are other possibilities. Sam Raimi is in the running to direct the movie.
I mean, he did a good job with the last Doctor Strange. I mean, it was almost a freaking horror movie. I liked his kind of version of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, John Francis Daly, Jonathan Goldstein, Jon Favreau are also, you know, possible. So we'll see. You know, I guess right now that it's just too early to tell. I guess, you know, we'll follow Sony and Marvel, figure out who makes an announcement first when things are finalized. Losing my place and all of the things. I don't know what it is with airplanes. Maybe, you know, we're approaching the summer vacation travel season or something, but there was a trailer that I saw... and it's literally called Monster on a Plane.
I'm tired of these motherfucking monsters on this motherfucking plane.
Exactly. you know, definitely going to be a low-budget horror, which I love. I don't know. The creatures kind of remind me of something from Critters versus Gremlins, you know? Like, I don't know. At one point, like, somebody's like, oh, you're cute, and then bites their arm off. You know, so basically this will tell the story of a monster savagely terrorizing people on a plane.
Man, I watched original Critters again. Like, it was on TV the other day.
So I guess these things evolve. So they start out, you know, critterish, and then evolve into something bigger and more sinister.
Now, feeding your gremlins after midnight, does that account for crossing time zones?
It's giving them water after midnight, so, you know, you would have already fucked up.
No, water just made them multiply. Food is what turned the mogwais into gremlins.
Ah.
Now, does that account for crossing time zones? It's like you're feeding your monster at 11 o'clock, and then you cross the time zone. Oh, fuck, it's after midnight. We're fucked.
I think it depends on where it originates from.
Do they all operate off of Greenwich Mean Time, or is it time zone dependent? They never explain that in the Gremlins movies.
So, I guess there's a professor that embarks on a journey to bring a mysterious creature back from a distant land to Germany. However, when unexpected turbulence strikes, the beast awakens and starts attacking passengers. Stewardesses and teacher team up to regain control amidst the chaos, but as they also uncover a ruthless murderer among the passengers, they quickly spiral out of control.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you see the trailer for Trap?
For Trap? Uh-uh.
Oh, it's a fucked up story. It's a dad and his daughter, and it's Josh Hartnett, which I haven't seen Josh Hartnett in a while. But yeah, it's a dad takes his kid to, like, basically a Taylor Swift-style concert. And he starts noticing, like, all these cops and shit at the venue. And he finally, some guy tells him, like, yeah, they've locked down the entire venue because they're hunting a serial killer. And there's rumor he's at this concert. Well, it turns out the friendly dad taking his daughter to the concert is actually the serial killer. And, like, him trying to get out of the trap they've set for him.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Well, something else interesting and unexpected, I suppose. Steven Spielberg confirmed as a producer on the Transformer G.I. Joe crossover movie.
That should be. I mean, that was something like in the last Transformers
movie. Yeah, the Rise of the Beast. And yeah, I guess that was...
They kind of teased it at the... It was like the tease at the end of the movie. And I was like, oh, shit, we're getting a new G.I. Joe movie? Fuck yes.
Well, I guess this week at CinemaCon, Paramount Pictures confirmed that the movie is happening and the story idea is based on a storyline played out for the Hasbro brands in the 80s.
Yeah, because I believe there was like a comic book crossover where G.I. Joe and the Transformers teamed up.
Steven Spielberg is executive producing, but, you know, in Spielberg fashion, probably won't offer any real, you know... detail or anything.
We'll find out when we find out.
Yeah, absolutely. No director yet. I guess
yeah, but that's something I've been wanting to see since the tease of that last Transformers movie. Like, fuck yeah, G.I. Joe. It's gotta be better than the first two G.I. Joe movies they made.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, right now, like, the details are so vague that, you know, quote, the honest truth is I don't know exactly what we, you know, should expect. I know we're going to deliver on the promises we made. So, yeah. I mean...
That first G.I. Joe movie was so bad, none of the cast returned for the second movie. But the second movie was actually pretty good with The Rock and Bruce Willis. They did a better job in the second movie than they did the first movie.
Yeah, So I guess like every Transformer movie, the ingredients will be humans and robots get together to stop the villain, and the Joes are going to be a part of the ingredients now. Also noted, we're not going into the Joe world. They're coming into the Transformer world. So if you think about it that way, I think that's the closest thing to the plan we have. We now have to figure out a plot we want to do, etc., but there will be an active participant.
Yeah, because the newer Transformers movies, they've done a good job of making it look like the old Transformers toys. So I'm wondering if we're going to get, like, you know, the shit that looks like the real G.I. Joe shit.
I hope so. I guess only time will tell as more stuff develops. I'd be curious once we start seeing trailers and that sort of thing. But right now, it sounds like they just need to get organized and come up with a direction on what the hell they want to do.
But yeah, Spielberg's producing now, so even if he's not directing, it's like, All the money's there. If Spielberg is attached to it, it's like, we don't have to worry about budget. It's shit's handled. It's going to get made eventually.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would be cool to see Spielberg, you know, be able to take reins and sort of steer things, but an executive producer, I don't know. You know, it's like, no, I'm not getting paid to direct. I'm not, you know, getting involved in that wheelhouse. My name's there to ensure that this crazy idea actually comes to fruition.
I'm surprised he hadn't done Ready Player 2 yet. Because, I mean, as far as I know, the Ready Player 1 was successful. Theatrically, anyway. So, I'm surprised he hasn't, you know, started working on that. Well, that's all we got for you this week. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESONetwork.com. We're on Facebook, X, and Instagram at CigarNerdPod. We're on the YouTubes at CigarNerdPodcast or at CigarNerdPodcast. Check us out, or pick up your shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. Pick up your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com. Promo code CigarNerds. And with that, remember, it's easier to track a stuck pig than to ask it where it's going.
And that's the golden rule, motherfucker.
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.